Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Holy underwear.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, June 16, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 515 of the Biden-Harris administration, 141 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram at the Bob Seska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. All right, Jody's on the road. No spicy Jody today. So instead, we're just going to do this.
Yeah.
I love it. David hey. T-Rex Ferguson is here all by himself. But we're holding hands, and so that's nice.
One little ninja.
Of course, his music project is Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. So we're starting the show really, really late today. Apologize to our commuters, our afternoon drive commuters who usually listen to the show on their way home on the day it drops. But we have a hearing, a set of hearings today from the 1-6 committee that we wanted to get at least a little bit of coverage of into today's show. So unlike last Thursday, we'd have a bit of a longer shelf life. Like last Thursday, it might as well have been one of those shows, David, where we did it, we recorded it in the can, and as soon as I go to post it...
And then they kill Osama bin Laden.
Exactly. Gigantic breaking news. And then it's like everyone listening to the show after that point is like, what's wrong with Bob and David and Jody? There's something, they're not talking about the thing. And we all want to hear about the thing. And so we've got lots of the thing today. We've watched, the first hour and a half of today's 1-6 committee hearings. But before we dive into all of the details and bombshells from that, and there are several bombshells we have to get to, because we haven't talked since last Thursday, David, I'm dying to get your takeaways from the previous 2 days of testimony because, oh my God, well, we can go back to the first day, last Thursday, with those bombshells from Bill Barr and Ivanka, or as Donald Trump refers to her as, Ivanka Trump, because we might get confused as to which Ivanka.
All the other Ivankas out there, yeah.
Yeah, the myriad Ivankas. That
the cheap knockoff Ivanka's from China.
That's right.
That she got her own patent to make. Yeah.
Some guy selling Ivanka's out of the trunk of his car.
Yeah.
Oh shit. So
boy,
yeah,
she looks bad in these hearings. I mean, she like first of all they've got her in I'm like Ivanka, smoky eye. It's for evening. Like, do they do these hearings at, 10 o'clock at night at some after party? Or, what's going on? She looks terrible and really medicated.
Looks stunned. Yeah, she looked perpetually stunned. So did Jared, for that matter. Maybe they were using
this weird, repulsive thing where he peels his lips back from his teeth when he's talking. Have you noticed
right.
this?
Yeah.
It's like his teeth and his lips hate each other, and they're just trying to, get as far away from each other as they possibly can.
Yeah. And his teeth were trying to escape from his mouth or something, and his mouth could barely contain the teeth. That's what it seemed like. It was so, weird. It was just a weird camera angle. I guess that's the nature of things these days where –
it reminds me of those cheap animations. Yeah. Remember from the 60s where just the mouth of the character would move?
Yes. You know? Yes. Like Conan O'Brien used to do that with Robert Smigel, where they used to do
weird.
Clinton and Bob Dole. Yeah. That's exactly. That's exactly what Jared Kushner looked like. In fact, so did Ivanka. But I love the fact, and I've talked about this a couple of times already, but I just want to cue you up for it. I love the fact that Ivanka didn't hesitate to say, oh, yeah, I agree with Bill Barr. And then Donald Trump jumps in and says, oh, yeah, no, Ivanka's lying. So Donald Trump on his
actually
website
basically just said she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Right, right.
He said she was it checked out or clocked out?
Checked out, yeah, something like
I
that.
I think the distinction there is between 9 and 7 Xanax. You know, like checked out is 7 Xanax, clocked out is 9. But
yeah, yeah. But then he said she didn't really mean what she said about Bill Barr, which suggests that she perjured herself. So there's no one that Donald Trump won't throw under a bus. I mean, his own daughter. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, he wrote that on his website, which is called Troth something, Troth Central.
Truth Central.
That's it. That's the name. That's the name of the thing. So yeah, the hearings so far, I think, have been immensely compelling. And one of the reasons I think the structure of them has been so compelling is they make an allegation. One of the members of the panel, one of the members of the committee will make an allegation, and they'll immediately cut to a video that backs up that allegation in the most salient way possible. Whether it was Bill Barr saying that the notion of a stolen election was complete bullshit.
Bullshit.
Or Ivanka on down the line. We're seeing that even today.
Or just even like establishing the Capitol Police officer's credibility when she described what happened and then they showed you exactly that on video.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and I felt like part of that was a great way, like I said, of establishing the credibility of saying, like, we're going to give you the facts as they unfolded.
Well, yeah.
The British filmmaker guy, I could have sworn when he said, that, you know, he was talking about the Proud Boys. And this is why these guys are so not cut out for a civil war, because lunchtime came and they got hungry and they went and got tacos, you know?
Yeah, I've always said you can't have a civil war if you're going to get winded after running about half a block.
Yeah, when that British guy, when he first said tacos, I thought he said tuckers, like when like British people will say you tuck in, you know, and I was like, we went off for tuckers. Like, you know, and I'm just like, oh, how jolly, you know, like fucking Ponzi bitches.
Yeah, it's but like yeah, a weird British slang term, right? Like a hammer is a bunker stick.
Have a chin wag.
But then, you know, we had day two, which was all about how Trump knew he did not win the election. I mean, that was the entire gist of what we saw on Monday, I believe it was. And witness after witness, from Bill Stepien himself, he, of course, was on tape from his original testimony because his wife was apparently giving birth to Quato or something, the thing that came out in The Fly Part 2, some sort of disgusting human Trump supporter hybrid, I guess.
You know, it's a perfectly normal baby with a tiny 666 on, just under its hairline.
That's right. It's Rosemary's baby. Suddenly Ruth Gordon pops up and says, yeah, he chose you.
He has his father's eyes. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, all these witnesses testifying that Donald Trump knew that he was lying. And that's one of the great things about not only Monday, but today's testimony, which is that Trump knew. Trump was aware of what he was doing was illegal. There was no two ways about that. So we have consciousness of guilt, right? That's part of the prosecutorial goal here.
Establishing intent. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
And I understand what the committee's doing by bringing out all these people like who are Republicans, who are longtime Republican operatives, who are like that little data guy that looks like a minion.
Yeah.
Like, I know that he like had a 10-minute long wrestling match in the mirror that morning not to wear a bow tie. You know?
Right.
It's hard for me to listen to Republicans for a long, long, long time because it's that whole 5-minute thing, like where, you know, they've arrived now in the last 5 minutes where we've been all this time.
Yeah.
But they were fine with everything up to that, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So like part of me is just like, but I understand. I mean, it's smart politics. It's smart evidentiary like presentation from a bunch of lawyers that are on this committee that understand that this will have more gravitas if it comes from, you know, a bunch of Republican operatives and not, you know.
Yeah, the goal here is to cut through the partisanship, I guess the patina of partisanship that might be seen by some observers, especially independent voters who are very particular about that sort of thing. So really, this is all about communicating to independents as well as prosecutors at the DOJ. So there's a couple of
They've also been putting it, they've been studying the, you know, the path along the way here with enough new information, though, that those of us who followed this from the outset are still getting new stuff to go, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like just the whole, like, again, with the fucking Proud Boys and the documentary filmmaker and the meeting in the parking deck with the, you know, the Oath Keepers, and I'm just like, once again, videotaping this crime spree is the best idea that we ever had. It's just like, what were they thinking? But again, these are not smart people.
No, they're not.
They are a bunch of dumbasses who are unfortunately dangerous dumbasses because they've swallowed this white nationalist ideology. And but they have to take a break for tacos.
Yeah, like,
you
know, take a break for tacos.
Your
yeah.
Civil War is just not, you know, it's not, if you guys get your Civil War, it's not going to be just like piling into your 4x4s and driving to the, you know, middle of town and shooting some people and then going back to business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Like Home Depot will not be open. Like the lights will not be on. You will not be able to go to the hospital if you get hurt. It just,
yeah. Well, the thing that makes me underscore the word stupid is the fact that they're all willing to go to prison, maybe in some cases for the rest of their lives. Enrique Tarrio, for example, who's being charged with seditious conspiracy. Joe Biggs being charged with conspiracy.
Dude, your name is Enrique and you are the leader of a white supremacist organization. Dude, you are not white.
Yeah.
You are white adjacent. Okay. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, I understand it. It's like the whole Candace Owens thing. It's just like, I wasn't special among my own people, so I went somewhere else where they made me the most special, like, token ever.
God, that's so spot on. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the case of Enrique Tarrio, can you imagine going to a federal penitentiary where people know you as being a member of the Proud Boys? Just that title, the Proud Boys, really, to me, doesn't illustrate what they are. It illustrates something else. It's like Proud Boys is like a Pornhub vertical. You know what I mean? It's like that. Oh, yeah, that's the category.
It's always reminded me of like we brushed our and flossed our teeth like 5-year-olds. You know, like we washed our hands before dinner. We're Proud Boys. Mm-hmm. Like it just it's always seemed really infantilizing and I think really it was meant as a joke initially, and then it just like.
Proud Boys
lost on the suckers, but the suckers gave money and the it just expand, you know,
because it's one word away from being Rent Boy is what it is. That I mean, that's really this boil it right down, you know. Well, there was an insurrectionist clip played today during today's hearings of this guy talking about Mike Pence, saying that he had heard Mike Pence was going to cave, meaning Mike Pence was going to do his duty, do the right thing per the Constitution, per the Electoral Count Act. And so this guy said, if Pence caved, we're going to drag motherfuckers through the streets. And I love that they included motherfuckers completely uncensored. So today on all the networks carrying the hearings, the word motherfuckers, one of George Carlin's 7 deadly words, made it onto national television broadcast. I was gratified to see that.
I'm not ready to fucking suck Mike Pence's dick for being such a great, strong upholder of the Constitution.
No. He was doing the bare minimum that you have to do as vice president. He was not taking any extraordinary measures here to stop Donald Trump. He was just doing what he was required to do. So you don't give someone an award for that.
After 360 whatever days of being basically a planter, you know, just like a decorative palm in the corner while, you know, atrocities are taking place.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, Mike Pence.
That was the gist, the whole gist of today's hearings, all about Mike Pence and the pressure that he was under to toss out the electoral votes. And, you know, look, I'll say very clearly that there was a ton of pressure and that he did resist that pressure, but it was all in service of doing what he had to do. It's all listed there in the Electoral Count Act. It's all listed there in the 12th Amendment. He knew what he had to do, so it was just a matter of pushing back against Donald Trump's people and John Eastman. But Liz Cheney,
John Eastman, who has been devil spawn since the 80s, I don't feel like we've underlined this enough, how he was one of the bete noirs of, like, one of the people who was out there saying that AIDS was God's judgment on sodomites and that, like, you shouldn't let gay people teach your kids because they'll molest them and on and on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just glommed onto the Trump thing at the very, like, twilight of his career and is now, like, known as the man who authored the memo that gave a blueprint for how we could destroy democracy once and for all in this country. Yep.
Well, we have two very specific things that are defined by the committee as being illegal in very explicit terms. We've got not only Donald Trump's grift, his post-election grift, where he raised something like $250 million to an organization that didn't exist in the immediate days after the election, and then moved all of that money into the Save America PAC, which we've been talking about for quite some time now as being a complete scam. None of that money went to challenge the elections, or maybe a teeny tiny bit did, but all the rest of it was just handouts for all of Donald Trump's cronies. And that's all verified. So that's been discussed as being, in explicit terms, illegal. At the same time, the pressure on Mike Pence, also illegal. In fact, Liz Cheney, this is Liz Cheney talking about how Donald Trump knew it was illegal for Mike Pence to do this, for him to pressure Mike Pence on top of it, as of January 4th, 2 days before the insurrection. This is Liz Cheney today.
When exactly did President Trump know that it would be illegal for Mike Pence to refuse to count electoral votes? Here is one sample of testimony given by one of the witnesses before us today, the Vice President's General Counsel.
Did John Eastman ever admit, or as you know, in front of the President, that his proposal would violate the Electoral Count Act?
I believe he did on the 4th.
I believe he did on the 4th.
That was January 4th, 2 days before the attack on Congress.
Wow. Yep, we've got illegal shit all over the place. This is one of the best things this committee is doing. It's not just putting the information out. It's defining what the information means. And that's a crucial step, not just for the Department of Justice, not just for accountability against Donald Trump, but also for people, the folks watching these hearings, to understand what they're seeing. Because as we're going to illustrate a little bit later, we're an unserious, frivolous nation, and you really need to spell this shit out for some people. So I'm glad they're really doing that. I'm glad they're really hammering it home. Liz Cheney, separately, had also said this process was illegal and unconstitutional. This plan with Mike Pence, the Eastman memo, and all of the coercion that was going on surrounding that. And in fact, Mike Pence's general counsel said Pence knew it was illegal. So this was all very clear and unequivocal that everyone knew that this could not move forward. But yet Donald Trump pushed for it anyway. In fact, Donald Trump tweeted. There was a tweet that was presented as part of the hearings today where Donald Trump, I believe it was on the 4th or the 5th, said that it's completely legal for the vice president to overturn the electoral votes. They also got into the fake electors. And Liz Cheney was clear about saying that they were fake electors, a fake panel of electors that were all part of this scam. The idea was for Mike Pence to toss out the legitimate electors and replace them with these fake electors that didn't go through the typical process. There was no legal statute permitting these fake electors. In fact, the Electoral Count Act entirely and expressly forbids the appointment of these fake electors. So
you know what it reminds me of, though?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like he's like Trump is like an alcoholic, like a raging alcoholic who went to the doctor and the doctor's like, okay,
yeah,
your system is shot. You, and you've got to stop drinking now or die.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes home, and the family is like, okay, we're going to help you stop drinking. And he's like, okay, no, well, I'm just going to drink beer.
How's yeah. that?
You know, and then they finally, like, wrestle him to the ground and be like, you cannot drink any alcohol at all, Dad. Mm-hmm. You cannot drink anymore. You have to stop drinking. And they leave the room, and then Uncle Roger, like, slips him a, you know, shot of vodka or something, and we're off to the races again. And yeah, he's like, yeah. I'm just going to drink, like, after dinner. You know, it's just like, you know, he just keeps coming back and coming back. And they're like, no, and no, and no, you lost the election. And so, you know, again, he's left with the fucking circus animals like Rudy Giuliani and his melting hair and Sidney Powell and her fucking animal print. Everything. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's such a great metaphor for what was going on, because Donald Trump would hear that whatever conspiracy theory about the election through the stop the steal thing and all that shit. He would hear something as just completely unfounded and bullshit, as Bill Barr was saying.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. And he would hear that.
He's come in and said, it says here on the internet I can drink as much as I want as long as I have a cup of kombucha at bedtime.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, no, Dad, you can't keep drinking.
Exactly. Yeah. He would pivot to something else. He would say, well, that thing is bullshit. Well, what about this other thing? What about this other conspiracy theory? I heard about a suitcase being yanked out from under a desk when they were counting the votes and a whole bunch of ballots were pulled out. And they'd be like, well, no, that was actually an authorized bin that they used.
The roller cart that they used to transport the fucking ballots from one side of the stadium to the other.
Yeah, and then you go, well, what about the cell phone data? There's all these cell phones going past. Why are all these cell phones going past these ballot boxes on the street? What's the deal with that?
Because people live there. Yeah,
people walk by. Everyone has a fucking cell phone, you nitwit. And so then he would go to the next thing. Exactly what you were saying. It was like, well, you... no more whiskey for you, Mr.
President. No, but I've seen alcoholics do this. You know, I've watched them, like, run down the list and be like, well, I'm just going to drink, like, the organic
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, dude, you have to stop or you will die. And they're just like, what about if I just on vacation?
Yeah. What if I just put the tip in? Just putting it in sexual terms.
Exactly.
What if I just use the tip? Well, no, that's still, I'm sorry, that would still be intercourse. Like, no, no, no. It's almost like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber when Lauren Holly says, well, we have no chance of being in a relationship together. And then Jim Carrey says, well, what do you place the odds? What are the odds? And she says, I don't know, 1 in 1,000,000. And then he gets really excited and goes, so you're telling me there's a chance? Right. So every time Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and Rudy Giuliani would come into the room with another conspiracy theory, it was Donald Trump saying, oh, so you're telling me there's a chance? No, there's no chance. You've lost. I mean, this all boils down to Donald Trump being the sorest of all losers. Donald Trump is incapable.
It all boils down to him being 7 years old.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And 7 year olds are notoriously like, bad losers.
He wants to flip the, you know, Connect Four board because it's, you know, somebody beat him and he's just having a meltdown.
Yeah. Or in modern parlance, you throw the video game controller across the room and storm off. That's what basically he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary Trump said there will be no way that he will ever be able to psychologically swallow the fact that he lost.
No, he's not wired for it. That's the insane thing about this, is that there's a pathology here beyond the legal and constitutional ramifications of all of this. It speaks to his toxic positivity. He is, I think, physically, emotionally, psychologically incapable of saying, okay, I lost this election. And the bonus for him is, in that process and due to that psychology, he's able to bilk his sucker followers into giving him hundreds of millions of dollars that he can just keep and use for his own fapping and bullshit and paintings of himself, and to pay off all the people he needs to keep into his inner circle, keep their loyalty. So he's given money out to Mark Meadows causes and whoever else. Paul Manafort is getting money in there too. And so none of it's going to what they had given him the money for. None of it was going to the actual stop the steal thing. That was like the benefit of it. That's the great irony of Donald Trump's pathology. It's that his psychosis is a real moneymaker for him. It's so bizarre. It's such a bizarre circumstance, a bizarre character in American history. Just this confluence of psychosis and greed and dumbness, just rank dumbness. I can't believe it. I guess he assumed somehow he was going to wiggle out of this. I guess he believed that if he was successful.
He still thinks he will. Yeah. I mean, he still thinks he's going to be able to slither off the hook.
Where are you with that, though? What do you think? After having seen, you know, basically 2.5 hearings so far, do you feel as though this is increasing the odds that he could face legal accountability for all this? That was a big pause. That was like a Judge Luttig pause right there.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that guy.
Yeah, but before you answer, before we get into Luttig, answer the question. What do you think? Are we going to see legal proceedings against Trump?
No, but I remember it. You know, I always want to point out that, like, Gaddafi and Donald Trump have, like, their birthdays are, like, a day apart. And, like, it took forever to finally catch Gaddafi.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember? Like, mm-hmm. He just, like, strung it out and strung it out and strung it out until he finally just couldn't – there was nowhere left for him to run.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what it's going to be like for Donald Trump. Maybe not as violent and just graphic and the term, all of that. It wouldn't mm-hmm. hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But I think that he is just, like – he's got some very simple tricks that he resorts to again and again and again and again and again. And I just, I feel like he's just going to keep pulling those shitty rabbits out of shitty hats until there's just nothing left.
We're seeing, I think, three newly rekindled investigations. And not that at least one of them didn't need rekindling. I'm talking about Fulton County and Fani Willis, because this is all feeding her prosecution down there. At the same time, Letitia James in New York is now picking up the ball when it comes to Save America PAC and that scam fundraising thing that he did. Plus, we know that the DOJ has impaneled a grand jury that has already subpoenaed Peter Navarro for his communications with Donald Trump. So we've got two different state investigations. Of course, Letitia James is going to be a civil investigation that will probably lead to the dissolving of Save America PAC and some sort of gigantic financial penalty. Letitia James, I think, is a criminal investigation, and so is the DOJ investigation, which I think we have at least somewhat confirmation of. I think the notion of, is Merrick Garland going to do something? I think that question has kind of been answered. And I'm saying that hesitantly because we know very few details. But we also know that Merrick Garland was clear the other day when he said, yeah, prosecutors are taking a close look at this. Prosecutors are watching. I'm watching this. If not live, I'm seeing a replay of it. So, yes, we are aware of all of these things. So that's all good news. I am feeling more confident than I have in a long time based on all of this information. At the very least, the court of public opinion has got to be leaning toward, you know, some sort of accountability for all these bastards. I mean, at the very least, John Eastman's going to prison. I mean, I think we can say that unequivocally, that John Eastman is fucked. We saw Eric Hirschman in a video the other day talking about how he was trying to get Eastman to repeat the phrase, what was it? Orderly transition.
Orderly transition.
Yeah, yeah. And advising him to get some high-priced lawyers immediately.
You're going to need them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's pretty clear. Now, whether or not that's going to encompass Donald Trump, too, I think that still remains to be seen. But, you know, as I said, we're leaning in that direction. One thing I like to hear today out of the initial portion, maybe in the first 5 minutes, Congressman Aguilar said this. He said, January 6th was not an isolated incident. And I'm so glad that he defined it that way, because I think sometimes people disconnect the Stop the Steal con that was going on from election night on through to January 6th. And that was being divorced from the actual insurrection, when in fact, it's all part of the same strategy. In fact, I think Adam Parkamenko tweeted this during the proceedings today. He said that here was kind of the plan. Option one, Pence rejects electors. Option two, decided in the streets. Option three, take the Capitol. And because option one didn't happen, then it was option two and three that ultimately took place. But preceding that was an effort to get the election overturned in the courts, to pressure election officials like Brad Raffensperger in Georgia to try to overturn the election there. The fake electors in Arizona, Ginny Thomas, campaigning with politicians in Arizona to get those electoral votes thrown out. And we've got more Ginny Thomas news here coming up, too. So there was a long
plan. I think
it's
abundantly clear that there was a conspiracy and there was a plan and it was organized and it was coordinated and it was consistent and constant from before the election onward.
Right. It seems to me as if
the question is whether or not anyone's going to screw up the fucking, you know, it's the courage to prosecute. To actually lead him away in handcuffs. And not fearing his followers, not fearing his cronies in Congress, not fearing, you know, to say justice applies to everyone in this country. But I mean,
There needs to be a list of things. I know Allison Gill was on the show yesterday with me, and she was able to name a couple of different criminal statutes, federal criminal statutes that had been violated here, that Donald Trump had violated. In fact, that was pivoting off of what Liz Cheney said, I believe was in her Tuesday video, I want to say, with the one with Eric Hirschman in it, who was talking about orderly transfer. That was based on a judge's assessment that two federal criminal statutes had been violated in this process of pressuring Mike Pence, is the things we're hearing about today. So, yeah, lots of legal precedent to go off of here. Meanwhile, let's see, Greg Jacob appeared in testimony today. He's a counsel or former counsel to Mike Pence. He said the 12th Amendment is inartfully drafted regarding the counting of the electoral votes. And later on, Judge Luttig kind of contradicted that and said, no, it's fine. It's just clarified by the Electoral Count Act. So don't worry. And of course, Judge Luttig said it much slower than I just did.
Oh, my God.
He was a little slow.
You pointed
out
he looks like ancient William Shatner. He look like ancient William Shatner, but he talks like Christopher Walken on Quaaludes. I mean, just the pauses between the words he was trying. It just was like, oh, man. I was actually like, there was a point where I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Yeah, I have to just log out and let Bob handle it.
I mean, if you got a short attention span, if you have ADD, it was a tough bit of testimony to sit through. But I will say this. We were all joking about it on Twitter, and you and I were going back and forth via text message.
Dude, it was like watching a rooster shit gravel. Jesus Christ.
Well, but ultimately, though, I appreciated that he was taking his time and presenting it with the gravity that it deserved, because what he was doing is basically lining up.
He was presenting it with Jupiter's gravity, dude.
But he was essentially saying what Donald Trump did and what he tried to do with Mike Pence was completely unconstitutional. It violated the Electoral Count Act in this way, in this way, in this way. And he understood the gravity of all of that. I want to read part of his statement here. Now, this is the tail end of his remarks. He's super duper important. This is kind of the gist of what he was getting at. The war on democracy instigated by the former president and his political party allies on January 6 was the natural and foreseeable culmination of the war for America. It was the final fateful day for the execution of a well-developed plan by the former president to overturn the 2020 presidential election at any cost, so that he could cling to power that the American people had decided to confer upon his successor, the next president of the United States, instead. Knowing full well that he had lost the 2020 presidential election, the former president and his allies and supporters falsely claimed and proclaimed to the nation that he had won the election. And then they set about to overturn the election that he and they knew the former president had lost. The treacherous plan was no less ambitious than to steal America's democracy. Extraordinarily well said. And it's a shame. You know, we live in an age now, the internet age, where it's all about being fast and first. Being accurate is kind of a distant third on our priority list when it comes to internet things. And Judge Luttig, in his defense, was trying desperately to be as accurate and as serious as possible. And as much as we joked about him earlier today, I think that is ultimately a noteworthy and important goal to achieve. And I think he achieved it. So
maybe he's just a fucking slowpoke. Let's move on.
Okay. All right. We will move on here. But like more, still more stuff to come from today's hearings and a whole lot more. But first, there's nothing more stressful than living with the out of control credit card debt that some of us have, especially after the pandemic, maybe being out of work forced you to spend some more on your credit cards. Well, I've been there myself. To great tragedy and pain, I have absolutely been there. But what makes it all worse is you might be paying the top allowable interest rate on that debt. So why not refinance your credit cards into a super low interest rate and save a ton of money each and every month? And here's how. With Lightstream, you can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. And there are absolutely no fees. And just for my listeners, here's your special deal. Write this down. Memorize it. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount to save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Seska. That's LightStream.com/CESCA. And if you can't remember it, I got a link in the description for you under this episode at bobseska.com. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Seska for more information.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
This is a friend of the show, George Harris, and a song called Blameless. Yeah, another new single from George. Thank you, George. Excellent. BobSeska.com/music to submit your songs to the show, submit your work to the show. Please do. Run, don't walk over to that website. Again, that's BobSeska.com/music. All right. Getting back into things here, Greg Jacob told the committee that John Eastman admitted in front of Trump on January 4, 2021, that the pressure campaign against Mike Pence violated the law. So Donald Trump, once again, and this is, I think, the entire centerpiece of the hearings today, that Donald Trump had consciousness of guilt. He was aware that what he was doing with this pressure campaign was illegal. The question was, did John Eastman ever admit, as far as you know, in front of the president, that his proposal would violate the Electoral Count Act? Greg Jacobs, Mike Pence's general counsel, said, I believe he did on the 4th. On the 4th. That is before I think he did a rally in... I want to say
Atlanta. Then he turned around and came back into Pence's office on the 5th and said, I need you to,
yeah,
you know, to do this. And there, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, at some point in the night, the alcoholic dad was like, well, just how about just liqueurs?
You know? Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, Johnny's been came down to the bar and ordered an amaretto sour or something, you know, just like it just –
But he was telling his people there was a rally in Atlanta. They played a clip during the hearing today of Donald Trump in Georgia talking about how, you know, Mike Pence has to do this thing, applying pressure. And then, as you said, the meeting with Mike Pence. And then there was the Donald Trump's remarks on January 6th at the Ellipse talking about all of this, plus numerous tweets, including the one we talked about earlier, in which he stated on Twitter unequivocally that it's perfectly legal for Mike Pence to change the electoral votes or to not count the legitimate electoral votes. Can we say it here? Fuck the Electoral College. I mean, at long last, for God's sake, look at all of this trouble that is circulating around not just someone who was way out of his depth and never should have been president in the first place, someone who is pathologically incapable of admitting to defeat, being self-critical, any of that shit. But on top of it, we have a system of elections in this country that is outdated. It is archaic. It is absolutely useless. And I say this.
It's racist.
Yeah, it's racist on top of it. And I say that as someone who has in the past defended the Electoral College. And I have long since abandoned that position. I think the second.
No, fuck that. It literally means that some people's votes count more than others. And
exactly.
That's just not democracy.
Yeah. Well, it's such an arcane way of doing things. Because I think the original idea of it, apart from some of the racist motivations, was that only the gentry are capable of making proper decisions when it comes to leadership. So we need to leave this to the most important people, the most educated, the wealthiest, the greatest landowners to decide these
things. The Idahoans?
Yeah.
Really?
Right. But so ultimately, two presidential elections where the popular vote winner ended up losing the election, to me, that's too many as far as indictments of the Electoral College to get rid of this fucking thing once and for all.
Well, I feel like the Russians saw it in 2016 as a flaw in the system that they could exploit.
2000,
to get
and even in 2000, yeah.
That it's, you know, they see that as, you know, it's a plan. It's a way to pretend that democracy doesn't work by pointing to a thing that's actually, by its very nature, anti-democratic.
Yeah.
And saying that this, you know, this is why we can't have nice things.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of things are on the table right now as far as cause for reform, cause for presidential reform. That's one of the big disappointments I've had in the past couple of years since Donald Trump left office, which is that I was hoping for majorities that were large enough to be able to pass a series of presidential level reforms, which we probably would have had by now if it hadn't been for a 50-50 Senate. But, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? We're kind of stuck with that now. Obviously, there's more motivation to expand our majority in the Senate for this particular election coming up. And there's kind of a chance of that. I think, just not to get too far off on a tangent, but the great irony of this coming up midterm is the House Democrats have done almost literally everything that we have demanded of them. They have passed all the laws, from the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, police reform, election reform, Build Back Better, all the things that we want have been passed by the House Democrats. The House Democrats are in jeopardy, greater jeopardy than the Senate Democrats, of losing their majority. The Senate might actually
And they're going
to
have to win way more votes than the Republicans in the House in order to maintain their ground. And that's one of the things that drives me crazy because of the gerrymandering and the misrepresentation and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was talking to my dad, you know, he's a great index of every man, you know, he's one of those people who really wants to see the good in everybody and wants to never take a side. And he doesn't like the Republicans, but he said he doesn't like the Democrats either because they're ineffective. And I was like, Dad, you're thinking about Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin because the House has been a freaking legislative machine since the beginning of the Biden administration. And the Biden administration is running like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
No leaks, no backstabbing. I mean, they've handled everything as well as it can be handled. But the Senate is where everything is stumbling because we have two Democrats who are basically just divas, attention whores, who understand that the minute they get in line with the caucus, the reporters go away.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, and I just, don't write the Democrats off, Dad. But, you know, it's funny because I forget that my stepmom is also there pulling from my particular, you know, kind of pulling from the left because you know, throughout the Trump administration, I kept telling my dad, I was like, you know, to be Trumpers, they must be racist. And he's like, but I have people who are Trump friends and they're not racist. I'm like, they don't think they're racist, Dad.
No.
But nobody thinks they're racist.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Everybody thinks they have a great sense of humor. And nobody thinks they're racist. It's just one of those things. Like, but if they didn't leave when he came down the escalator and said that Mexico is sending drug dealers and criminals, that's the racist moment. That's when anyone who's not a racist goes, let me get out of here. This isn't cool.
Yeah, you know? I worked with a guy years and years ago when I was in animation who we got to talking about history and the freeing of the slaves, the Civil War, that period of time, the 1860s. And this guy swore up and down that he's not racist at all. And then he says to me, you know what Lincoln should have done? He should have only gradually freed the slaves, not all at once. So you're saying that instead of freeing all the slaves, he should have just freed some of the slaves? That's the mindset.
How's that going to work? Is that like when you like split the sixth grade into kickball teams? Like you count off one, two, one, two, one, two. Like, you know, okay, ones, you're staying here on the plantation in chains. Twos, you get to go forth and live lives as full citizens, and we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Some people just don't understand the full dimensions of what it means to be racist. And, you know, maybe that guy is.
Well, no, we're all. I mean, everybody has racist ideas, whether they want to or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the default programming of our culture. We are being spoon-fed white supremacy from the moment of birth.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even before birth, our mothers get different levels of pain medication when they're in pain because doctors believe white women more than they believe black women and women of and Latin descent or, you know. So it's – you know, and it's our job to be as allies to be rigorous about patrolling ourselves for these ideas because they are there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're running an old browser. You know, it's like one that was the factory install on your mental laptop.
Yeah.
You know,
well, there's so many things that were presented by legitimate sources, especially, for example, in our childhood, growing up in the 70s.
Yeah.
There were so many things that were just considered to be normal and not stepping over the line as far as race goes. It'll just the idea that there was a chain of restaurants called Sambo's. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh God. Yeah, I look back and I'm like, wow, yeah, that was awful. Or some of those.
Yeah, my mom was like, we would never go there. She was like, that's so racist. I mean, my mom was woke when woke wasn't cool.
Yeah,
you know?
Good for her.
Like, yeah, because she was just like, I just can't believe that it's just there's this big giant Sambo's sign sitting there, in the, you know, with these big black. I never ate at one, and there was one in my town until I was like probably 13.
Wasn't there a movie in the 80s where the character disguised himself as a black guy, basically wore a black face and tried to pass himself because of affirmative action? He couldn't get into college as a white guy, so he dressed up as a black guy. And at the time,
yeah,
it was like,
it was called Soul Man.
Soul Man, that's exactly right. Okay. So that was the sort of thing. That,
I never saw it. It seemed like it was really going to be one of those things.
Like a switcheroo. Yeah. And it's horribly racist. And, you know, even the south of the border billboards, which those of us on the East Coast who've driven up and down 95, we know what that all is. There's a like a tourist trap stop off, like a roadside attraction at the border of North Carolina and South Carolina called South of the Border. And so it's all got this kind of stereotypical racist Mexican theme to it.
Yeah, giant sombreros and the whole like Zapata mustaches and
right. And these
we don't need no stinking badges, all that. Yeah.
Even as we're learning about how racism is bad, these were things that still existed and were still considered to be normal. So that's kind of the pretext to all of that. But we got way off on a tangent on this. Let's get back to the hearings for today. I noticed too they had some Sean Hannity texts to Mark Meadows, which I wanted to read here. It was interesting covering
this. He was completely like, abandon ship. He was just like, by January, like 6 p.m. January 6th, he's like, I don't know anybody named Trump. Who phone? New phone? Who this? You know, just like, I mean, and then like he gradually got like back and pulled back into the trench. But like he was a total deserter at that point.
Yeah.
He was like, 25th Amendment, no more weird people. Get me out of here. I'm a celebrity. You know, like it's just totally like that man is just as much of a freaking like pants wetting coward as you think he would be.
Exactly.
When it came down to it and he thought he might be held accountable and the things had gone out of control and way too far, he was like, I never had anything to do with this. This was your idea. You decided to have a party while mom and dad were out of town.
Yeah. Wrong number. Fake caller. Yeah. Right. Here's Sean Hannity on December 31st, 2020, texting to Mark Meadows. He said, we can't lose the entire White House counsel's office because the White House counsel's office is telling Eastman and Trump.
We.
Yeah. Like, no, don't. This is bad. Don't do this. This is wrong and illegal. You're all going to get into huge trouble. And Sean Hannity,
the fact that a supposed journalist is speaking in we with the president, like he's fucking Trump's tapeworm.
Right. Well, and he kind of was. He was kind of Donald Trump's other chief of staff. Trump would always call Sean Hannity, like in the middle of the night, he would ring him up. And that made me think of, I knew some guys who worked on the Gary Busey TV show on Comedy Central called I'm with Busey. And Busey was like exactly like Trump, calling them in the middle of the night with these crazy crackpot conspiracy theories about Bigfoot and shit like that. You can only imagine being called in the middle of the night, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, by Gary fucking Busey. I think the only thing that'd be worse.
Just after he's eaten 75 hits of blotter acid. And he's, you know, telling you about the fucking aliens are coming and the apocalypse is here. And
Trump is just
like, no, you're at Burning Man, Gary. Please go somewhere cool. Do not dehydrate. Drink some Gatorade. Calm down. Put on some Allman Brothers. You know,
And Trump is actually worse. And the reason Trump is far, far worse than that is at least Gary Busey has the excuse of hallucinogens. Donald Trump is completely straight, completely teetotaling. So this is
no, he's not.
Oh, you don't think so?
More,
I know what you mean. Oh yeah, he's on some sort of speed, some sort of uppers. But I'm talking about in terms of hallucinogens, any sort of alcohol, none of that.
Oh, I think he's on a whole kaleidoscope of pills.
Okay.
I think that we've seen him whacked on benzos. That God bless the United States.
Yeah. PCP or angel dust.
I think he figures as long as it comes from a doctor, it's legit, even if he's crushing it and putting it up his nose. I think that's his, like, rationale. But, you saw his doctor.
yes, I remember. Dr. Bornstein and, of course, Ronnie Jackson. We have music for Ronnie Jackson, which is also the Rudy Giuliani music. It's Ronnie Jackson's drunk music. Yeah. Thank you, Chris Lavoie, for sending this. And Sean Comiskey.
You having trouble staying awake? Let me get you a script here for some Provigil.
It'll
make you feel amazing. Yeah.
All right, so what was I talking about? Sean Hannity's texts to Mark Meadows. He said, we can't lose the entire White House counsel's office. I do not see January 6th happening the way he is being told. After
he said, we can't lose the entire White House counsel's office.
No, I'm sorry.
That's right. That's a pretty good impression. He should announce, we'll lead the nationwide effort to reform voting integrity. Go to Florida and watch Joe mess up daily. Stay engaged. When he speaks, people will listen. Okay, so there's Sean Hannity's plan for Donald Trump's post-presidency, basically. And then Sean Hannity also texted to Mark Meadows on January 5th. He said, I am very worried about the next 48 hours. And then also on the 5th, he said to Meadows, Pence pressure, White House counsel will leave. So Sean Hannity was desperately concerned that the White House counsel's office was going to resign en masse. And so they were all aware. They were all aware of how fucked up this whole situation was. When Sean Hannity is fully aware of this scam and is waving them off. I mean, one of the biggest scammers in the history of modern Republican red hat conservatism is saying, no. He's flagging you away. This is too far. You're going too far. Stop here. That means you are way out of
line. Dashboard is red. There's alarms going off. Like, we're in an asteroid belt, and it's like, like, everybody out. And, like, But then you go to him on the 6th, and he was totally like, okay, I've never knew anybody named Trump. I mean, like, it's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Like, how hard and fast he's covering his ass.
Well, also today, Greg Jacob testified that Eastman knew his plan would violate several provisions of the Electoral Count Act. again, this is consciousness of guilt by everyone. Everyone involved in this knew what they were doing was fraud. They knew what they were doing was illegal. They knew what they were doing was unconstitutional.
It was a coup d'etat.
Yes.
It was completely in the face of everything this country supposedly stands for in terms of one person, one vote.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It just, fortunately, you know, there were enough people that jumped off the boat. And they only could get so many thousands of dads who didn't get custody of their kids, like, mm-hmm. in D.C. at one time.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer Rubin reacted here on Twitter. She said, Eastman is a frightful, evil figure willing to plunge the country into civil war, knowing his plan was illegal and denying Dems had the right to do the same. And then Chris Hayes wrote, the weird elephant in the room here is why on earth everyone in the White House has to take multiple hour-long meetings with a random crank calling for a coup, and the answer is because Trump wanted the coup. Yeah, that is really fucked up, isn't it? There's so many dimensions to the fucked upness about all of this. Chris Hayes also wrote, Eastman is saying he thought he had two votes for the coup on the Supreme Court. That's an incredible tell about Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas. There was the potential that, no, this any challenge to this wasn't going to be 9-0. It was going to be 7-2. I mean, there were going to be two Supreme Court justices, at least according to Eastman, who would side with them, who would side with the coup. That is immensely fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that it's so fucked up, you almost want to subpoena Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas and get them into the hearing room and ask them directly, where would you... Of course, they wouldn't answer. They would give some sort of legalese thing.
My discretion, jurisprudence.
Just incredible. Meantime, another Trump lawyer, Ken... This is my favorite name in this whole thing. Ken Cheesebro. Is that how you say his name?
Cheeselbro, isn't it, or something? Like,
I don't know. They were saying in the hearing, I thought I heard Cheesebro.
Something like that, yeah.
Cheesebro.
It's really sad. Yeah.
Well, he suggested the justices may be more inclined to weigh in if they had fear of wild chaos on January 6th. He said it 5 days after Trump's wild tweet about his January 6th rally. I think that's about what we have as far as today's hearings. There were several other things that occurred after we started the show that I think we were concerned, David, that it was going to be the real bombshell material. So anyway, a few more things to talk about during the remaining minutes of today's show, and then we'll whatever we don't get to, we'll talk about during the shadow docket. But first, here's the best way to listen to the Bob Seska Show without all the commercials like you're hearing right now. Just go now to our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com, scroll down to the link for the ultimate edition of this podcast, and sign up for just $15 per month. And you may be going, oh my God, $15 a month, that's a lot of money. Well, here's what you're going to get in exchange for your generous support of this fully independent podcast. We're going to give you a completely commercial-free version of the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. And that's a big deal. We take out all the commercials from our main three free shows. So you get those. Plus, you're going to get the Shadow Docket. That's like act three of the show. If you're hearing the free show, you're only hearing the first two acts. The third act happens on the shadow docket. That's going to be included in your $15 per month. That's what you're going to get. Plus, you're also going to get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly Johnson, all included in that level of support. So here, let's recap. No commercials for your Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows, plus the Shadow Docket. And then on Friday, it's the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly. All of that for just $15 per month. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Down among the reeds and rushes, a baby boy was found. His eyes as clear as centuries, His silky hair was brown. Never been lonely, never been lied to, never had scuffling fear, nothing denied to. Born at the instant church bells chime, the whole world whispering, born at the right time.
If you're saying to yourself, this sounds like Paul Simon, that would be pretty accurate, because this is a cover of Paul Simon. This is the band Mipso. One of our new favorites here on the show, Mipso, is the name of the project. And, of course, this is Paul Simon's Born at the Right Time. MipsoMusic.com, link in the description under this episode to support Mipso. I keep saying Mipso because I like saying Mipso for some reason.
I can tell that you're enjoying that. It's like a new sound bout for you.
Right, right. Yeah, the band is called Mipso, in case you missed it.
Spell that.
Yeah, it's M-I-P-S-O, as in Mipso. I'll use it in a sentence. The song I just played is by the band Mipso. So there you go. All right, I'm getting silly here, so it's time to wrap up here in a couple of minutes. But first, here's a list of the top Twitter users who spread disinformation about the 2020 election. Researchers combed through 45 million tweets that sowed doubt on the 2020 election. Here are the top spreaders, according to techpolicy.press. I'm just going to read the top 10. Oh, James O'Keefe III is number 10. He is not a verified user. Number 9, Praying Medic. Praying Medic. Number 8, Cat Turd 2. These are real users. I'm satisfied to see that Cat Turd 2 outranked James O'Keefe. How sad. Number 7, Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump just ranking, Jr. just ranking above.
He's finally come into something on his own merits for once in his life.
but only 1 point ahead of Cat Turd 2. Number 6, real Donald Trump. That'd be the ex-president, the one-term loser, the insurrectionist. Number 5, Eric Trump. Somehow, David, Eric Trump topped his dad on this front. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, thank you for that mental image. Ew.
Sorry. Sorry. Oh, my God. I didn't even realize it.
I'm going to go wash out my mouth with bleach. Sorry. I just...
Number 4, Jack Posobiec. Is that number 4? Top spreader of disinformation about the 2020 election. Number 3, Tom Fitton. Tom Fitton at number 3.
Who the hell is that?
I vaguely recognize the name. Probably someone I blocked years and years ago. Number 2, Gateway Pundit. Is that number 2?
Oh, and God. Why does he even still exist?
I don't know.
That guy has been getting it consistently 180 degrees wrong since, like, before the Iraq War.
Yes, wrong for
and
20 years.
And he just... I mean, no, dude... It's been longer than that. It's been 30.
Okay.
I mean, like, maybe it hasn't been 30 years since the Iraq War, but I mean, like,
the first Iraq War. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like, he's never gotten anything right.
Yeah, no.
Ever.
Nope. Nope. Well, number 1, can you take a guess who number 1 is? it's not one that you would typically guess. And I was kind of shocked to see it. The biggest spreader of disinformation about the 2020 election was actor asshole James Woods, or as his Twitter handle was, Real James Woods.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So, yeah, trying to see through.
We need to make this as, like, disgraceful as, like, willfully spreading, like, genital warts to people, you know?
Yeah.
Because.
I agree.
Spreading misinformation, it costs lives. Mm-hmm. It costs lives in this pandemic. A lot of people died out of just pure willful blindness to the science. And it's just.
Yeah, here's some other names in the top 35. Diamond and Silk, they were at number 35. Breitbart News, I'm just going to read them up from 35. Diamond and Silk, Breitbart News, Matt Schlapp. Matt Schlapp, which is the sound a wet pork chop makes when it hits linoleum floors. Timcast, here's Mark Levin on this list. Scott Adams is on this list. Project Veritas on this list. Rudy Giuliani at number 26.
I don't feel like we need to dignify Mark Levin's request that we change his name. It's your name is Mark Levin, dude. You're not French.
Yeah. Yeah, the talking adenoid Mark Levin. I don't know how that guy ended up in a broadcasting
Levin.
Career with that voice. Yeah,
I don't know. With that voice and that, it's really, again, a voice, a face for radio and a voice for mime.
Well, here's a blast from the past, David, from Blogosphere 1.0, number 18, Michelle Malkin on this list. And she is topped by... Sorry, I keep using that word.
No.
She's topped by the real Candace Owens.
Oh, so it's a pegging thing, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm seeing here. That's about it. Those are all the major names from this list. Oh, Charlie Kirk was at number 21. So Charlie Kirk had to be in there. All right, one last thing here before we wrap up. The breaking story this afternoon was Ginny Thomas was emailing with John Eastman about the election, according to the Washington Post. And then Eastman responded during the hearing saying, "I can categorically confirm that at no time did I discuss with Mrs. Thomas or Justice Thomas any matters pending or likely to come before the court. We have never engaged in such discussions and did not do so in December 2020. Well, if they've got emails, fuck you. I mean, good God. Who does he think he's fooling? I mean,
it's just like, what's his name? Sour Milk, Louder Milk. You know, that was just like, there was nobody in a damn MAGA hat taking pictures of staircases and train entrances. And, well, maybe that was me. Like, yeah, it's just like, you fucking idiot. Like, and not only do you just like shut up and take the L on that, and maybe we wouldn't have found out, but like to completely trumpet that, like, I wasn't leading a bunch of people in red hats around the Capitol. And, God, these are the worst. I mean, again, Watergate, we found out about mainly because it was a bunch of criminals who weren't very bright. And once again, I feel like we've just stumbled across, we've like turned another log over, and there's a bunch of really stupid maggots under there.
Yeah.
Squirming around and just like,
I know what you mean. Yep. Okay. Well, there's a lot more to come here. We got to talk about, Steve Bannon said something. By the way, he lost his last attempt to get charges thrown out for his contempt of Congress indictment.
God, that fucking piece of shit.
He is a horrible,
I think he likes
man.
He likes these opportunities to spout his shit in front of cameras. Like, I think he enjoys like this litigation high.
Yeah,
that he gets.
I saw someone on Twitter regard him as someone who was rejected by the cool kids, and now he's out for revenge to just fuck up everything. It's like, again, going back to throwing the Connect Four board across the room or chucking the video game controller across the room. You know, he got rejected, he lost, and so he's freaking out.
No, he's all along, all he's ever wanted is to be a cool frat boy.
Yeah, right.
Hang out with other cool frat boys, like in an Abercrombie and Fitch kind of way.
Yeah.
And that's what the layers of shirts are about, and the old grimy barn jacket. He thinks that he is a member of Kappa Alpha.
Yeah.
But
he just looks like a bruised banana. This is like an awful, rotting, bruised banana. Yeah, that's what he looks like. Let's see what else. Oh, you know what? We can just talk about this now. Donald Trump is demanding equal time. He I don't know what you would even call it. Tweeted? I don't know. He said something on Truth.
Press release.
Truth Central.
He said, "I demand equal time." And so, yeah, let's give him equal time.
Under what grounds, old man?
Under
You're a
oath?
Fucking retiree in Florida.
Yeah.
Like,
but swear him in. Put him under oath and have him on live TV. And he can have all the equal time he wants. He can testify for 11 hours like Hillary Clinton had to do.
He'll just lie.
Well, he'll lie and grandstand.
And like within 15 minutes, he'll contradict himself. I mean, he really is like in the eternal now of resentment and rage. And I don't want to look at his fucking sagging old man scrotum of a face anymore.
Yeah, yeah. He's turning like, into he's turning into one of those dried apple dolls. You know what I mean? You know, you take a little apple and you carve a face in it.
Yeah, the shrunken
and
head.
Yeah, the shrunken apple head doll. Yeah, yeah. That's what he looks like. There's a picture going around of him looking exactly like one of those things. All right. Maybe something about Sebastian Gorka on the shadow docket.
Sebastian Gorka.
A little bit of good news. Lots of Republican versus Republican news on the shadow docket coming up here.
White crime. Yep. I love it.
That is $5 a month on our Patreon page for the shadow docket every Tuesday and Thursday. Run, don't walk. Go do it. BobSeskaShow.com. See you over there. Have a great weekend. After party tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.